Hello, Juno. It is Thursday, September 24th, and this is a Juno afternoon. We've got a great cross-section of community today. We'll be talking about the Language Matters film series. We'll be talking about high school football, the Friends of the Poor Walk, immunizations for flu season, and Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A day of mourning was held Wednesday as Pope Francis canonized Junipero Serra, the man credited for establishing the mission system in California. Christina Onnested reports.
Indigenous people gathered at the Carmel Mission in Carmel by the Sea, where Junipero Serra is buried, to remember his brutal legacy and honor their ancestors. His own writings express consent for beating Indian slaves in the mission system he created to convert Native Americans in the state. Now, the Vatican Supreme Leader, Pope Francis, is remembering him as a saint.
He's just put a stamp on the fact that it is okay to commit crimes of humanity.
That's Carolyn Ward Holland, a Tatavium Native American from Southern California. She's on a walking pilgrimage to the 21 missions in the state that the Catholic Church created in the late 1700s to convert indigenous people. She's speaking out against Serra's sainthood.
What does that tell our children? What does that tell everybody? That the Catholic Church condones slavery and rape and murder and every other thing that you can imagine. I mean, it's just unfathomable that this would even be in consideration to begin with.
Holland and other California Indians are calling for the missions to be returned to the respective tribes from the regions. For National Native News, I'm Christina Onnested.
Representatives from the nation's military academies were in Rapid City recently at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Jim Kent spoke with the U.S. Navy captain about the benefits of attending the Naval Academy in Maryland and efforts to attract Native students.
U.S. Navy Captain Ann Kubera says high school students living in large rural states frequently have a better chance of obtaining an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy.
We don't get a lot of applicants from South Dakota. I mean, with a population of less than a million, you're not going to have as many who are interested or can even qualify to come to the Naval Academy as you would in New Jersey or Maryland.
As for the benefits of a military academy education, midshipmen at Annapolis get paid while they attend the academy free of charge and have a guaranteed job along with no student loans when they graduate. Although it values diversity from all cultures, Captain Kubera says the Navy would like to encourage Native Americans to apply for the Naval Academy. The 28-year veteran notes that Annapolis rarely receives Native American applications. Kubera adds that Annapolis offers both direct appointments to the Naval Academy for those who are ready to start college-level academics on day one, as well as appointments to the Naval Academy Preparatory School in Newport, Rhode Island. The preparatory school is a 10-month program designed to help students achieve the solid academic foundation they need to be successful at the U.S. Naval Academy. Captain Kubera advises any Native American students interested in applying to either program to contact the U.S. Naval Academy directly. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Two Nebraska tribes were honored Wednesday for contributions to Native American health care policy. The Winnebago tribe and the Omaha tribe jointly received the National Impact Award at the National Indian Health Board Consumer Conference in Washington, D.C. The tribes recently passed a joint resolution which lists several demands of the Indian Health Service. The tribes say there's mismanagement at the IHS hospital on the Winnebago Reservation. The tribes are seeking to improve the quality of health care. The Winnebago tribe's Rolling Thunder Wellness Center also received an award for leadership excellence for its diabetes program. The U.S. Attorney's Office for Arizona announced Wednesday a nearly $2 million award to help tribes provide culturally appropriate services to crime victims and their families. The federal dollars were granted to the Unified Solutions Tribal Community Development Group. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support from the National Indian Education Association's 46th Annual Convention in Portland, Oregon, October 14 through 17, advancing educational opportunities for American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian students. Learn more at niea.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer. He is at the board. It is 6 minutes after the hour, and right now it's mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 51, light winds becoming southwest to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, numerous rain showers, lows around 42, northeast wind 10 miles per hour, in the evening becoming light and variable, and tomorrow scattered showers, highs around 50, tomorrow night rain likely. And then we go right into rain for Saturday and Sunday. It is one day past the equinox in Juneau, Alaska. So kicking off our fall season, or our post-equinox season, our first guest today is Alice Taff. She is the Affiliate Assistant Professor of Alaska Native Languages, and she's here to talk about a film series that's going on at UAS. Last week, if you were listening, we chatted with Bob Holman, who is here with his film about Indigenous languages. And tonight, there is a film entitled Revitalizing Lakota Language. And the producers and directors will be Skyping in before and after the screening. And what they say is this is a project 5 years in the making. This multi-platform project tells the story of a powerful threat to a Native culture. This threat is an insidious, impersonal villain, one that comes through TV sets and social media sites, through tweets and comic strips and the daily news. The menace is the English language itself, and the victim, seemingly marked for extinction, is the Lakota language itself, the language of the Lakota Nation, once usually called the Sioux. So that is the show tonight, and we chatted with Bob last week, and it was a fascinating talk about the importance of language. And what can you tell us about the second in this three-part series as part of this film, Alice?
This film runs about an hour, and as you said, we'll be Skyping with producer Will Maya before slightly and then after for questions and comments. And it's an inspiring film. I've seen many films on language revitalization. So, you know, but this one really, really touched my heart. Multi-platform is in that blurb. And what I guess it means is that there are real people doing various things and talking about their situation. And there are also animations that breeze in and out of the reality portion. So those are very lovely, and I hope people will enjoy that.
And that's 7 o'clock at the
7 o'clock at Egan Lecture Hall.
And it's free?
It's free.
Okay, great. And so this film series about mm-hmm. endangered Indigenous languages. Mm-hmm. Tell us why UAS is doing that.
Well, UAS is very involved in language continuity, which is a term that I prefer to language revitalization, because language continuity doesn't have any negative spin on it. Revitalization, you know, you have the kind of psychological image of there's a body on the floor and you're breathing and you're pounding on the chest. And that's kind of an outsider's way of looking at things. To think of it as more of a, we can talk, we've hit a blip, might be a big blip, but we're going to continue.
Right, the continuum.
It. Yeah.
Right. So the whole spectrum of where we are and what we could do to make that blip really spike, I guess, is what we're talking about. And so to ask a not a tough question, but a tougher question. So a film about the Lakota language, what does that matter to Alaskans? How does that connect to Alaskans?
Well, I'm hoping that people who see this film and the other two in this series will be able to draw comparisons between the situations that each of the language communities finds themselves in, the causes for that, and the strategies for reversing the trends they find themselves in.
And do you think Alaska's at the forefront of this language continuity? Indigenous language continuity.
I think Alaska is so rich in its indigenous languages, 20 languages, 20 official languages, plus English in Alaska now. And
let me clarify that.
Yeah.
So what I'm going, you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm assuming Alice just said is the legislature approved 20 official languages. I think we're the only state that actually has 21 official languages. So while there are 20 official languages, I believe there are more than those, that number in Alaska. Is that true? No, there's actually 20. Okay.
Right.
21 with English. Okay. So there we go. So
20 indigenous languages.
Languages and 21.
English.
Right. Exactly. Right. Okay. So 21 languages
right.
approved by the legislature
right.
here in Alaska. Okay. So here we have 20 indigenous languages. And in your opinion, are we in the forefront, Alaska in the forefront as far as this language?
I think every single one of those language communities is working on language continuity very actively.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful.
That's great. So you saw the film. Is there a little piece that you'd like to talk about?
I think people should watch out for the animations because they're storytelling and very beautifully done.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we're chatting with Affiliate Assistant Professor of Alaska Native Languages from UAS, Alice Taff. We're chatting about this film series, this three-part film series. Tonight is the second. It's Revitalizing the Lakota Language. It's at 7 p.m., and it's a multi-platform. They're talking about social media and tweets and comic strips and the daily news, so I think this is a film that hits people the way they're communicating these days.
And the film, as you said, is about language revitalization, but the title is Rising Voices.
Okay, great. Well, Alice, thank you so much for dropping by. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
This is Bird Note. Just off our continent's North Atlantic coast, hungry northern gannets are gathering in their hundreds. They wheel and turn over a shoal of fish, and then the hunt begins. From 100 feet in the air, the gannets plummet head first, gaining momentum with powerful wing strokes. Just before hitting the water, they pull their wings close to their sides, piercing the surface in the shape of an arrowhead at 60 miles per hour, a plunge dive that carries a gannet well below the surface where its lethal beak clamps down on a fish. Bobbing up, the gannet shakes its fishy prey with vigor, juggles it a bit, then swallows it head first. A brisk, splashing bath, and it's up in the air for another dive. Such high-speed collisions would knock most creatures out cold, but gannets have evolved air sacs in both the neck and shoulders that cushion the impact, and their skulls are specially reinforced. When they're on the hunt, gannets offer a spectacular combination of beauty and lethality, drawing droves of tourists to places like St. Bonaventure Island in Quebec. More than 100,000 gannets nest here in summer, tourists watching in awe as the birds perform their hunting acrobatics. Until early fall, when the tourists head home and the gannets head out to sea for the winter, only to return next spring, when the spectacle begins anew.
Broadcast support for KTOO is provided in part by Greg Fisk, candidate for mayor of Juneau in the October 6th municipal election. Paid for by Greg Fisk for Mayor.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. Now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Fall schedules are now available online at juno.org/park/diamond park. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 3:15. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your host for Thursdays. We were just chatting with Alice Taft about the Lakota movie tonight, Rising Voices. Next week on Thursday at the University, Egan Hall, 7 p.m., will be a film about the Cherokee First Language, The Race to Save Cherokee. And that's next Thursday. Tonight is the Lakota film. Our next guest is Randy Quinto. He is here. He is the coach of the Falcons, which is the Thunder Mountain football team. Hello there.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So let's talk football. So tomorrow night there's a game?
Tomorrow night at 5 o'clock we have a controlled scrimmage against Nikiski. And at 8 o'clock the varsity will have their senior night, so our last home game.
Okay. So what is a controlled scrimmage?
Nikiski had contacted us and told us that they had some injuries and wanted to still bring their guys down and get experience. And I wanted my my JV group to get some experience as well. So each team will run like 10 plays on offense, 10 plays on defense, and then they'll switch up.
Okay, a controlled scrimmage.
Yeah,
makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Okay, and how many people do you have on your team?
We are floating around 50.
Wow, and you travel, right?
We do. We just traveled 2 weeks ago to Homer, and we traveled 44 kids.
Wow, that's a lot of people to move around.
It is.
Yeah, I bet. And then we were talking before we went on the air about the Glacier Bowl. You want to talk a little bit about the Glacier Bowl, too?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're thinking about tomorrow night, our senior night. But the big one locally here is Thunder Mountain against JD, and we're looking to do something that hasn't been done in community yet as far as Thunder Mountain beating JD.
Okay.
So and it's a winner-take-all.
Okay.
The winner is going to move on to the state playoffs. The loser stays here.
Oh, okay. And you think it's your turn?
I most definitely.
All right. Well, we have to go and check that out then. So when is that Glacier Bowl?
It is October 3rd, and I believe it is at 7 o'clock Saturday.
Okay. And if people want to, like, check out when the games are, where you're going, is there a website from there to follow, or should they call the schools and say,
Our website is tmhsfootball.wix.com/tmhsfootball.
But if somebody just searched for...
If they Googled it, they'd find it,
okay,
yes.
Okay, great. All righty. So let's talk about the games. So are games free?
There is admission there, but there's food, beverages, and everything.
It's an event.
It is.
Okay.
It is. All you have to do is brave the weather.
All right. It is supposed to be rainy, but it seems like the guys are doing the heavy lifting. All you have to do is sit
fine.
Around and cheer, right?
They're fine. It's us coaches on the sideline who are and fans that are the shivering ones.
Because you're not doing it. Right. You're just by the sidelines. So one more question before I let you go. I know you need to go to practice, and you've got important games coming up. So I've heard rumors that the football teams, they come and help and do things. Like if you need some move, you know, if you need some young guys to move some stuff around, and you could raise funds for the football team. Is that
yes,
true?
Yes, everything is. Both football teams here in town, actually all of our sports have to fundraise.
I would imagine.
Yes. Fundraise large amounts. There is no income coming from the school district this year, so everything is fundraised. Football is a very expensive sport, and I know JD has their form of
fundraising,
and we have something called the Falcon Workers, and they can either contact myself, my number's on the website, and we can get some boys to come out and help you garden, move stuff, whatever you need.
Okay, and to raise funds so they could travel.
Most definitely travel for equipment.
Okay, and so how has the season been so far?
Season's been up and down. We've had a tough schedule, but we are even right now at 3-3, facing the Kiski tomorrow night, and they are ranked number 5 in the state right now. So a formidable challenger, and then obviously against JD next weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and go Falcons.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Our next guest is Barbara Bechtel. She's here from St. Vincent de Paul, and she's here to talk about Saturday's Friends of the Poor Walk. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for hosting us. This walk is something we've done 6 years in a row, is to earn money to support the poor and homeless of Juno. That's the basic effort of St. Vincent de Paul. Mostly people know us through the thrift store, but this is another fundraiser we do.
Okay.
So it will be held at St. Paul's Church on the corner of Atlin Drive and the Loop Road on Saturday the 26th. The registration begins at 9 a.m. and the walk will be at 10 a.m. It's a donation, so there's no fee for this one. And we just follow the bike path up to Fred Meyer to the parking lot and then back again, and a snack afterward. So it's just a way to raise money for St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay, that sounds lovely. And that this is your 6th year. I think I spoke with somebody last year about it, too.
Yes, 6 year in a row. And it's all over the whole nation they do this, so it's kind of a everyone's out walking at the same time.
Oh, that's cool. And how many people showed up last year? Do you have a rough number?
Probably about 60 people.
Great.
Enough to make a trail down that bike path.
To make a statement.
Yes.
That's good. And then you were talking about that's this Saturday at 9 a.m. for registration, 10 a.m. walk at St. Paul's out in the valley. And then there's a bike race or something, a bike event?
A run, actually, with Southeast Alaska Roadrunners. They are helping out this year with a run. That will be October 3rd, again at St. Paul's, and it will be a 5K and a 1K. If you're 18 and over, it's $20 to register. And if you're younger than 18, it's $10 to register. And this is also a fundraiser for St. Vincent de Paul. But it's a 5K and a 1K. 8:15 is registration, and the run will begin at 9.
Okay. And where is that run? Where is that 5K?
That will be also the same route up to Fred Meyer and back, and they will measure it out so that you make your distance.
Right. My browser furrowed. I'm like, is that really a 5K? But I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll measure maybe off into the neighborhood or something to make sure everyone gets their distance in.
Okay, sounds great. And let's talk a little bit about St. Vincent de Paul. I think everyone who's listening has an idea of what the organization does. But can you tell us a little bit about the services you have?
Sure. I think the basic one is probably housing. And that the shelter for homeless people, which is always full and always has a waiting list. And then St. Vincent de Paul owns 29 units of affordable housing, and they manage 91 others here in town. So that's a big one, is housing and getting people off the street. And the other one would be assistance for people who are working and don't have the money to maybe pay for all their utilities, or can't cover all their rent or food for a month, depending on how things go for them. So that assistance helps a lot of people, 50,000 a year or so, just to help people a little bit to make it so that they can stay home. And maybe it's a bus pass every month to keep them so that they can get to their job and back home again.
Wow, that's a shocking number. And also the amount of apartments managed, that's definitely news to me. And how many people with the volunteers work at St. Vincent de Paul?
I'm not sure about the administrative office, but there are 25 volunteers, 24 with the thrift store, and one full-time volunteer with the administrative office.
Wow.
Who helps with a lot of the assistance in getting people settled in their home and things. But at the thrift store, it's sorting goods and running cash registers and getting things out on the racks so available for people. And that, of course, is from the kind, generous donations of slightly used items from the people of Juneau,
right,
which really is a way we can run the store.
And it seems like every time I'm out there that you have quite a few donations.
Yes, the donations come in regularly. It's very good.
And when can people drop off their donations as far as slightly used goods, household goods, clothes?
Between 10 and 3, the sorting room is open. And occasionally they'll say they are closed for donations, and that's just because the bins are stacked full and they have to have people there who can sort it and get it out on the racks.
So that's 10 to 3 Monday through Friday?
Yes, Monday through Friday. And Saturday, actually. We're open on Saturday as well.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And then if somebody's listening and they are not in a position to walk or run for either of these events, the Saturday Friends of the Poor Walk at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock walk at St. Paul's in the Valley, and then the race, the Southeast Roadrunners race, which is next Saturday, and they feel like, oh, you know, I'd like to make a cash donation. Is that, how would somebody be able to do that?
Well, they can go out to the website. SVDPJuneau.org to their website. There's a place there. The store is located at on Teal Street.
Right.
And
the back of Nugget Mall.
Yes. It's 8617 Teal Street. You can go there. The administrative offices are there. And that would be a way. Or you can drop a check off at the thrift store.
Okay.
And that would be a way to donate as well.
All right. Well, Barbara, thank you for all you do. And if you're interested in walking for Friends of the Poor Walk, that is this Saturday at 9 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 24th of September, 2015. It's the birthday of the man who said the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Francis Scott Fitzgerald, F. Scott Fitzgerald, born in St. Paul, 1896. He went to Princeton, an aunt paid his way there, tried out for the football team, was cut from the team. He was kicked out of Princeton, he went into the Army, he went to officer training camp in Alabama, made a girlfriend there, Zelda Sayre. He wanted to go off to war, but the war ended before he could get into it. He and Zelda were engaged. She called off the engagement because he didn't have enough money. So he went back to St. Paul, and he wrote a novel, This Side of Paradise, which was a big success. Fitzgerald's daughter Scotty said about Scott and Zelda, "People who live entirely by the fertility of their imaginations are fascinating, brilliant, and often charming, but they should be sat next to at dinner parties, not lived with." It's the birthday of Blind Lemon Jefferson, born on a farm in Couchman, Texas, around 1893. Picked up the guitar as a teenager, played on the streets, getting change in a tin cup. Made his way to Dallas, then made his way to Chicago, recorded for Paramount Records. He recorded nearly 100 songs over 3 years. He became the first country blues musician with a national following. He was only about 36 years old when he died in Chicago, his body found on a street in a December snowstorm. Buried back in Wortham, Texas, in a grave with a granite marker engraved with his own lyrics, "Lord, it's one kind favor I'll ask of you, see that my grave is kept clean." It's the birthday of the poet Evan Boland, born in Dublin, 1944. She wanted to be a writer, and when she looked at the Irish literary tradition, she found almost no women poets in the ranks. So she set out to be one, writing about motherhood and about life in the suburbs. Evan Boland, who said, "Poetry is one of the most fugitive arts. It can be assigned to memory, taken and hidden in the mind, smuggled into smoky cabin back rooms, recited there, and then conveyed only by speech to another person. It is therefore the most likely to survive colonization." Here's a poem for today by William Carlos Williams, "Waiting." When I am alone, I am happy. The air is cool, the sky is flecked and splashed and wound with color. The crimson phalloi of the sassafras leaves hang crowded before me in shoals on the heavy branches. When I reach my doorstep, I am greeted by the happy shrieks of my children, and my heart sinks. I am crushed. Are not my children as dear to me as falling leaves, or must one become stupid to grow older? It seems much as if sorrow had tripped up my heels. Let us see, let us see. What did I plan to say to her when it should happen to me as it has happened now? Waiting, a poem by William Carlos Williams, from the collected poems published by New Directions and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Welcome back to KTOO's very own Juno Afternoon. It is Thursday, September 24th. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. It is 33 past the hour, and our next guest is April Resendez. She's here from Public Health, and we're here to talk about flu shots. So my understanding is the flu immunization flew in this morning. You have your shots.
Yes, we picked up our flu immunization at 10 o'clock this morning, so we are ready to give people flu shots.
Okay, so where can people, first of all, let's start with the basics. Why should someone get a flu shot? Or who should get a flu shot?
Who should get a flu shot? Everybody 6 months and older. And we have a couple different types of flu vaccine depending on your age and preference, but anybody 6 months and older should be getting a flu vaccine. Why get it? Flu affects tons of people around the state, and it can make you really ill. It can cause death, especially in very young, elderly, pregnant women. those are our high priority people. But if you get a flu shot, you're also protecting those high priority people in your life. So the very young, very old.
And you said there's various forms. What were the various ways to get immunized for flu?
So we have your standard flu vaccine. We also have a nasal flu that anybody between the ages of 2 and 49 can get. So a great option for your kids if they really don't want to get a shot. And then we don't have it yet, but we're hoping to get a high-dose flu vaccine for those 65 and older.
Okay. And then when you talk about flu, are you talking about all strands of the flu? Are you talking about avian flu? What does it cover?
Yeah, so the vaccines this year all protect against 4 different strains of flu. And so far this year, the vaccine they've made is a really good match to the flu that we're seeing. All of the cases of flu that have been reported in Alaska this year are a strain that is protected by the vaccine.
Okay. And before we get into where people could get their immunization, what is the difference between a cold and a flu?
So cold is a virus that it's pretty easily spread, and unfortunately we don't have any prevention for it other than just really good washing your hands, covering your mouth when you cough. Flu is going to be a little bit more serious. It's going to cause where cold is just going to maybe runny nose, feeling a little drained of energy. Flu can cause severe dehydration, can progress into pneumonia, or just make you really miserable and bedridden.
Right, and usually there's a fever and fatigue.
Yeah, high fever, just feeling really drained, and then, like I said, the dehydration, and then the risk of it progressing into something more serious.
Okay, so where can people get their immunizations?
So right now, like you said, we have the flu vaccine at the Public Health Center. We're happy to give it to anybody in town this year. 6 months and older, we do appointments, so calling us, setting up an appointment. We are also we're trying to get out into the community as much as possible and meeting people where they're already going to be. Right now, we're scheduled to be at the baby fair that's being held at the new library out by Thunder Mountain on the 15th. And we're also going to be at Family Turf Night at the Field House on the 23rd. And like I said, we're hoping to find some more events and more locations in the community to be at.
Okay, so when people just either call public health or at these events out and about, they could just line up at public health you have to make an appointment, but at these events you just line up and get their shots or their nasal inhalation.
Yeah, so at public health we operate on the sliding fee scale. Anybody who is on Medicaid is 100% covered automatically. Otherwise, we look at your family income, what we feel you can afford to pay. Max cost without any discount is $27.44, I believe. But we're never going to turn anybody away if they don't feel they can afford that. And then we can also give you a receipt that can be submitted to insurance.
Okay. And at these fairs, will there be a fee? Or?
We generally operate it where we'll provide you with a receipt and ask you to send money into us if you feel like it. Again, we're not hunting people down.
Right.
They don't, but we appreciate any money that does come in.
Okay. And this is an annual thing. People should get immunized.
Yes. You should definitely get your flu shot every year. The type of flu that's circulating changes. For children under 8 or 8 and under, if it's their first time getting a flu shot, they need to get 2 in the first year just so that their immune system responds appropriately and they're protected. But after that, just once a year getting your flu shot. And like I said, we're already seeing flu in the state. So.
Okay. All right. And before I let you go, let's just talk about the other services that public health does. So what are they?
So immunizations are a big one. When you come in to get your flu shot, definitely we will go over with you if there's anything else we would recommend. Just making sure you and your children are up to date on all of your immunizations. We also provide TB testing, whether it's for employment, housing, and we do STD testing and family planning, birth control, pregnancy testing. And every couple of months we have a nurse practitioner who can do pap smears and a little bit more. Or a well woman exams.
Okay. And then just a few more questions. What is the difference between public health and a private physician?
So public health, we have more limited capability. We stick to those services. But our goal is to reach the people who are not otherwise getting in to see a doctor and really focus on that population, but also preventative health. We really want you to get your flu shot so you don't end up with the flu and have to go into your doctor. And try and catch things before they become an issue in the community.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the importance of getting immunized for the flu and where we could do that. And please feel free to come back any time to talk about anything else that you'd like to share with the community, and thanks for your service.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The Alaska Folk Festival and KRNN proudly present Folktoberfest, October 2nd and 3rd at the Rockwell Ballroom. 6 bands and 2 nights of music, dancing, food, and good cheer. Featuring the Anna Lynch Band, Todd Grevey and Cold Country, the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band, and other local favorites. Enjoy 3 bands each night at this all-ages event. All proceeds benefit the Folk Festival and KRNN. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside, and at akfolkfest.org.
Of the bard whose present, past, and future sees, whose ears have heard the holy word and walked among the ancient trees, calling the lasso and weeping in the evening dew. Control the sorry foe and fallen life renew.
Well, that was Martha Redbone, and she is coming to Juneau September 30th at 7 p.m. It's a Juneau Arts and Humanities Council concert. Oh, and speaking of that, look, Nancy Pichardi is in the house. She's right here talking to us about Arts Up.
Hey.
Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Pretty good.
Have you recovered from Pink Martini?
Wasn't that fabulous?
It was great.
Yeah, so I'm let's do that again sometime.
Can we?
Yeah, I was like, really? Well, Martha Redbone's coming right up, and that woman's got a voice on her, too. So, okay. Tonight there's a Canvas fundraising event.
Right, at the Rookery.
At the Rookery. I don't know if it's sold out, but you could call 586-1750 and find out.
Private event.
Yeah, it's quite nice. There's Goldtown showing Irrational Man and some other stuff. We have Othello going on, the tragedy of Othello. It's really good.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going next weekend, but I've heard really good things.
Really
about
good.
It.
And, you know, it's one of those things. Get your tickets now. Have you got your tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it'll sneak up on you and you realize, oh, it's over with.
And this is the one to see.
I think so.
Get
I mean,
going.
I was really, really, it's It's powerful and moving and well done and has a few laughs here and there, and it's just great. So don't miss it. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then it's running for a couple more weeks. We have, there's a Turkish folk dance festival sort of thing going on over at the Filipino Hall. You need to call the Filipino Community Dance Studio and register, or they say you can drop in. There's workshops tonight. There's workshops on Friday and on Saturday. So it looks like it's belly dancing and other sorts of Turkish dance. Should be really fun.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. There's an artist talk at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Canvas on Friday. Learn to skate. It's skating time already. It's winter. 6:30 to 7:30, it's youth and adults at the Juno Skating Club over at the Treadwell Arena. Dan Hobson's playing guitar live at the Gold Room. There's the Femme Fatales.
Oh, yay! That sounds so that's Friday and Saturday,
that's
right?
That's Friday. Friday night, 7 to 11, is the Rendezvous Bar, the locals' performer night. And then on Saturday night, it is at the Rockwell Ballroom, it is the Divas night.
Okay. Those are the pros, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And you get tickets for these things, not at the Jack. You have to go online to alaskanaids.org.
Okay.
So I think we have the link in the website, so go ahead and do that. On Saturday morning at 10:30, there's Run for Fun out at the Mendenhall Lake Campground, and that's a benefit for the guests, the Humane Society.
Oh,
so I suspect you get to bring your dog with you.
No dogs at all. Only chinchillas.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe some cats. I don't know. There's a Hearthside Books birthday party at the Nugget Mall on Saturday from 10 until 6. Probably there will be cake. They're turning 40. Who knew? Everything happened 40 years ago. What are we happening now? We'll be celebrating in 40 years.
Well, the new library, the new museum.
That's right. And Walter Sobeloff Center. Region 5 Cross Country Championships are happening over at Sandy Beach on Saturday from 11 to 2:30. There is, as I mentioned, the Turkish Dance Workshop. 1 to 5 p.m. at the Jack, it's the annual Capital Brew Fest.
Ooh, when is that?
That's from 1 to 5 on Saturday. And I do not know the status of the tickets. Again, this is one that you have to get the tickets online for. So everybody has a wonderful time. I don't remember the bands that are playing, but there's live music and all sorts of stuff. Great beers to taste. There'll be food trucks, all sorts of things going on over there. So come on down, 1 to 5 over there. There's a Dredge Lake cyclocross race out at Dredge Lake from 2 to 5. Don't know what that is.
I'm not going to ask.
It sounds like physical exercise.
She's the arts lady.
We'll just skip that one. There is a barn dance at St. Anne's Parish Hall from 7:30 to 11. That's $5 to $8. And they start them. I think they do them quarterly or monthly. So it means winter's here.
Exactly.
The stuff is happening now.
Right. PT has, Perseverance has its first play. Yes. The barn dance is up. It is fall.
And things have happened to the leaves out there, yes. Juno Jumpers on Sunday are having an open gym from 3 till 5. There is also the ukulele jam that always happens over at TK McGuire's from 11 to 1 on Sunday. The Prophet is showing at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, as well as Irrational Man. And there's Music on the Fly. This is the last one of the winter and then, or of the summer, and then we'll switch to the winter schedule. It's Travis Croutot is performing this time.
At the airport.
At the airport. Mm-hmm. It's from 7 to 8 if you're catching 67 or 66 mm-hmm. coming in or going out. There you are. On Monday, let's see, Wildlike at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. There is Dark Energy, Dark Matter, Normal Matter lecture at the Marie Drake Planetarium on Tuesday. That's a free event, and it's at 6:30 to 7:30. And I always encourage people, if you've never been to the planetarium, it's an interesting little treasure that we have in this town. It's been around for a long time.
It really is.
And I'm glad somebody's taken it on to do things with. Let's see. We've got the Man Choir, previously known as the Mule Choir, of course. There was a typo once.
was like, okay.
That is on Wednesday, September 30th, from 5:30 to 6:30. It's at Holy Trinity, we think. There is some other stuff going on, but of course, what we all want to see you at is Martha Redbone in concert at Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. So I'm not going to tell you anything else that's happening on Wednesday, because that's where you should be. It will be your last opportunity to buy season passes, but this year we are also having jackpack 4-packs, so you can buy 4 of any combination of tickets that suits your fancy. So we want you to come down. Now, we're starting this thing called an Art Hop Passport. So if you go to one of everything, like one of the Arts Council things and one of the Perseverance things and the Symphony, at the end of the season, if your passport is stamped, it goes into a drawing, and you could possibly win $500, or there'll be a second and a third prize as well.
So, wow. So that's the Arts Council, Perseverance, the Symphony, Juno Lyric Opera.
There's quite a few jazz and classics. CLASC, I think, is going to be in it. There's a lot of different things in it. And the goal is to help people shake it up a little and go try. And also just to acknowledge how much everybody does. I was just doing my report for the city. The city invested $167,000 in the arts. And if you look at the budgets of all the organizations that received funding from that, it's well over $3
million. Wow, that's crazy.
So that's an investment in the future, for sure.
Absolutely. So I have a question for you about the season passes for the Arts Council programs and the different packs that you could have. So who's coming? So you've got Martha.
We have Martha Redbone, who's coming, and she's part of the season package.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little incidental one that just popped up and is not part of the season package but is still going to be fun is John Sebastian, October 11th. It's the Love and Spoonful lead.
Oh, wow.
You know his music.
Everybody does.
Everybody
it's
does.
There. It's in our brains. You just have to access it.
It's part of the DNA.
Exactly.
So that's October 11th. And then we have a really curious thing called Letters Aloud, which is in November 24th. It'll be over at Centennial Hall. And it is people reading famous people's letters out loud.
Oh,
so
fun.
Yeah, it's kind of voyeuristic and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hope to have some other little things added to that, but that's going to be a really interesting thing. Then we have Capital Steps in January 24th. We have
perfect time to kick off.
Just in time. That's why we bring them. And it's this year they're doing Mock the Vote. Yes. So I think everybody will be under.
But we have nothing to mock.
Oh, surely you jest. And then we have Wearable Art the weekend of Valentine's Day, followed directly by the Gospel and Motown. And then we conclude our season on March 21st with something called Wonderheads, which is going to be a family sort of theater type thing, which is going to be quite interesting. They're from Portland and sort of like big mask type things. It's
wow.
fun. Yeah. There's little things kicking around in there. Like in December, we'll have our Naughty or Nice party, and we're going to have a beard contest, a mustache and beard contest. So I'm starting mine right now.
I do want to say that she just listed all those Arts Council things from the top of her head. Look at Dave. I was very impressed. And if she could grow a beard, I'll even be more impressed. Well, Nancy, thank you for all you do
and thank you.
All the going on. Yep. And if you're interested to volunteer, donate, become a season pass holder or renew your membership, it's
you
all online.
It's online, or just call us at 586-ARTS.
You mean people can talk to you, too?
Yeah, we like to talk to people, actually.
Whoa.
Even better, you should stop in.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for stopping in. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. We're going to listen to some more Martha Redbone.
Thank you.
No, no, never can it be. Never, never can it be. No, no, never can it be. Never, never can it be. Can I see another's woe and not be in sorrow too? Can I see another's grief and not seek for kind relief? Can I see a falling tear and not feel my sorrow shared?
Can a father see his child weep nor be with sorrow filled? Can a mother sit and hear an infant groan, an infant fear? No, no, never can it be, never, never can it be. No, no, never can it be, never, never can it be. And can he who smiles and all hear the wren with sorrow small? Hear the small birds' grief and care, hear the woes that infants bear, and not sit beside the next pouring pity in their breast, and not sit the cradle near weeping cheer on infant's cheek, and not sit both night and day wiping all our tears away. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. He doth give his joy to all, he becomes an infant small. He becomes a man of woe, he doth feel the sorrow too. Think not thou canst sigh a sigh, and thy maker is not by. Not thou canst weep a tear, and thy maker is not here. Oh, he gives to us his joy, that our grief he may destroy. Till our grief is fled and gone, he doth sit by us and moan. No, no, never can it be, never, never can it be. No, no, never can it be, never, never can it be. No, no, never can it be, never, never can it be.
That was Martha Redbone. She's coming to Juneau. She'll be here September 30th. That's next week, 7 p.m. with her trio. So we're going to wrap up our show. You've been listening to Juneau Afternoon. Jeff Brown's at the board. He is the producer of the show and the engineer. I'm Joan Pardis. I'm your Thursday host. We just chat on Thursdays. So a couple of things more for this evening. Tonight at the Downtown Library, there's going to be a panel moderated by KTOO's very own Scott Burden. It's called Cross Current Southeast. Three authors, one photographer, talk about being shaped by the North. We have Melinda Mostakis, a lovely writer who's visiting Southeast. She has a collection called Bear Down, Bear North, which is quite lovely. She'll be here. Brandon Jones from Sitka will be here. Ernestine Hayes will be part of the panel, and Ben Huff. That's tonight, 6:30 at the Downtown Library. Check it out. It's free. And as far as weather, tonight, numerous rain showers, patchy fog, late lows around 39, winds light and variable, becoming southeast, 10 miles per hour late. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers, highs around 50. Tomorrow night, numerous rain showers in the evening, then rain likely late, lows around 45. And then Saturday and Sunday, rain, highs around 49, and Saturday night, lows 43 to 49. So that is our weather update. Tomorrow, turn in to get a preview of this weekend's Femme Fatale drag show on the air, and then chat with Seth Cantor. He'll be in town. He's got a new book, Swallowed by the Great Land. This will be a phone conversation, but he's heading to town this weekend. And then we'll also learn about a new nature-based program for young people. So all that and more every day, 3 o'clock, Juneau Afternoon, and you can check it out anytime at ktoo.org. Thanks for listening.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown.